Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Hey, Rush Nation, what's going on? Welcome to the IDP podcast with me, Nate Davis. This is our very first 5 Yard Rush IDP podcast, and I'm absolutely buzzing about it. I've been playing in fantasy IDP leagues now for the past 6 years. I'm completely fascinated with it. And I'm hoping that the passion I have for this rubs off onto you, the listeners, to help me hit my goal of getting everybody on the IDP bandwagon. I am joined by my best mate, Mr. Brendan Veal. Hey, Bren, what's up, man?
How's it going, mate?
Yeah, all good, all good. Welcome to the IDP podcast. We're away.
Well, this is it. First intro. We're off and running. So, yeah, like Nate says, welcome to our inaugural IDP podcast. I suppose what Nathan and I are hoping to do with this first pod is to just get things off and running, say a bit about, you know, why there's going to be a specific IDP podcast. First and foremost, it might be worth, you know, for those of you that are a bit newer to IDP, those that may be still playing sort of team defense with your fantasy leagues, Nate's going to say a little bit more, a lot more, hopefully, about what we're doing. One thing we would say is there is a recent article by Nate on 5yardrush.co.uk, which just explains a bit more about the new IDP Plus scoring system, which again, Nate's going to say a bit more about. But hopefully what he and I've got planned is to get those of you with, they're a bit tentative about sort of IDP. I think, a lot of people playing fantasy are, they're pretty hot on the top offensive players. You know, everyone knows who the top tight ends are, wide receivers, etc. But maybe not so much on the defensive side. And hopefully, with this podcast and some of the articles that are going to go out on the website, it'll be a case of, just enhancing your knowledge, giving you a broader spectrum, broader scope of the defensive players out there. And really what we're hoping to do is just, really sort of boost your enjoyment of sort of fantasy football.
Yeah, well, the main reason, as Brendan just touched on then, is to get more people playing and enjoying the defensive side of the game. I play in absolutely tons and tons of leagues, and I have been now for quite a few years and following a lot of fantasy content, getting a lot of analysis on both sides of the ball. One of the big sticking points with fantasy football and the defensive side is the lack of a standardized scoring system. I know there's a lot of different types of scoring setups that are out there, and I think that's one of the main reasons for putting people off. It certainly has been common for me when we started. We've always played IDP. I know me and Brendan, yeah, our home league, we've always had individual defensive players. We're not team defense fans. And for me personally, I don't understand people that just sort of like kibosh it and say, I'm not really interested in defensive side of the game. I think we're going to see IDP leagues become the way forward eventually, like Superflex leagues weren't too much of a thing a couple of years ago, and now they seem to be dominating the fantasy platforms. Now everybody seems to be going for the Superflex option, and I think it'll be Superflex IDP soon. And I think that is the right way to go. I mean, there's only so much analysis we can do on the offensive players that are there. So why don't we add some defensive players to the mix and give us more people to talk about, more people to pick apart, more predictions to make, and that's what we plan to do. Tell everybody you support then.
I am a long-suffering Dolphins fan. I have, but you can't say anything. The Vikings are as mediocre. We support two. This is why we get on so well. I think we've gradually woken up to realization that we support two teams that are in a permanent state of transition. That's how it was, certainly that's how it felt for the last few years watching Miami. Yeah, I mean, I've been an NFL fan. I'd say on and off since I was about 10. My uncle, who you spend a lot of time with, sort of got me into it. He was a big Miami fan, big Marino fan, as you know, was the case at the time. So I come from a background of, Dan Marinos and Joe Montanas and Randall Cunninghams and stuff like that, Marcus Allen. In fact, my it pains me to admit it, my first ever NFL shirt was a 32 Marcus Allen shirt. It wasn't actually a Dolphins shirt.
Wow. That's like the opposite for me, really, because mine, I'm kind of recent onto the scene, sort of like the last, what was it, 6-7 years ago I got into the NFL.
Yeah, yeah. Frustratingly, you know more about the game than I do now.
Yeah, that's because I went straight into the fantasy world, you know, straight onto that bandwagon of analytical, just the data from the side of the game, fell in love with that kind of, yeah, the analysis side of things, the fact that you just look at a play over and over again and look at why you did that wrong and why aren't we winning? Why can't we play like they play?
I've been asking that question for 30 years.
Yeah, exactly, mate. Exactly.
No, but I get what you mean. I mean, I, you know, obviously growing up as a kid, I watched it with my uncle and then kind of drifted away from it. And then, yeah, I've always had one eye on the Dolphins. I would still watch it, but I think it was what's really helped was to have people close to me, you know, yourself and, you know, we've got quite a few other mates now that are involved in it, obviously on the fantasy side, but, you know, they've all got their own teams, you know, Arizona and the Jags and all the rest of it. So I think that sort of really kickstarted me into really watching it again and watching it properly. And I remember Alan, my uncle, used to say, I mean, you know, I was only a kid at the time, but he would say, you know, as the season moved on, you could look at pretty much any play and go, right, well, you know, they're going to run a slant here or they're going to run, you know what I mean? So, and I never really took that on board until sort of you and I started talking about it a lot more, like say a few years ago. And, you know, and that ties in, I think, quite nicely with, you know, with what we touched on with this, the reason behind this pod. I've found myself over recent years listening to, you know, lots of other podcasts out there. Most mornings out walking the dogs, you know, I'll be listening to something, you know, obviously, you know, 5 Yard Rush. That's primarily, you know, on the fantasy side of it, but then more general stuff, you know, ATN and things like that. Again, the more fantasy you play, the more you're forced to pay attention. You know, you are more, you know, you're sort of glued to Red Zone, or, you know, you're watching, you know, out for everything, really. And like you say, I mean, you've always been several steps ahead of me with regards to, like, the analytical side and the data. You know, hopefully between the two of us, we can, you know, bring a nice sort of broad spectrum, come at a few things from different points of view. And that's really what fantasy is all about.
Absolutely, Brian. From today and over the next few weeks, we're going to be going through the NFL division by division, breaking down the top IDPs for each team. We're going to kick it off today with the NFC East, and it's over to Brendan for the review on the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay, so when we divvied up the NFC East, I'm not entirely sure either of us wanted to do the review on the Eagles, to be honest, because I think your words were challenging when... I think primarily because, you know, you look at the 2020 stats, it's a bottom 10 defense. Jim Schwartz, you know, been with them a while. He's gone now. Obviously, he oversaw the championship win in 2017 Eagles. That aside, obviously, our job is to focus on, you know, the positives, who you need to be looking at. So I'm going to jump straight in with the D-line. And the obvious candidate, or certainly one of them, is Brandon Graham. You know, edge rusher, maybe not elite. What I did do actually was I spent a bit of time on YouTube watching a few sort of generic videos on the Philly defense. And, you know, he put up some decent numbers last year. You know, you're looking at sort of 35 solo tackles, 11 assisted, 8 sacks. He does worry the O-line. You know, he does break through. I mean, I saw several highlights of him just, you know, getting through there and, you know, getting to the quarterback, causing problems, forcing, you know, bad throws. He's, you know, you're currently looking at him ranking sort of round about sort of DL12. Last season, he put up sort of 172.5 fantasy points. So it's, if you're looking at tried and tested player on the Philly D-line, then I think you could do a lot worse than Brandon Graham. Outside of that, you're certainly looking at sort of Javon Hargrave playing at tackle. Had a good first season. You know, the stats would currently put him in around sort of, you know, sort of DL63, put up 102.5 fantasy points, you know, 16 solos, 22 assists, 4.5 sacks. I think we need to see, you know, I know a lot of people quite like him. I'd like to see if he can kick on next season and improve, put up some reasonable figures. But I think a lot of that's going to depend on various changes going on at Philly as a whole. moving from the D-line onto the linebackers, obviously, you know, top of the tree on last year's stats, you're looking at Alex Singleton, respectable fantasy season, put up 210 points, looking at, you know, 75 solo tackles, 45 assisted, couple of sacks, one interception. The projected stats would have him moving up a bit from last year's sort of LB26 to around 22. Outside of that, on the linebacker front, you know, I've been looking at sort of TJ Edwards again, you know, 143 and a half sort of fantasy points, currently sitting around about sort of LB62. Nate Gary, all right, 102 fantasy points, only played 7 games though. So, you know, that's something that, you know, you've got to factor in. Wasn't too hot on the coverage last season. So the secondary is a difficult one. You know, if you're looking at sort of that side of things, anything in the draft from Philly, you know, Philly really haven't been too hot in the secondary, especially at cornerback, even to the point where, you know, Jalen Mills, who's really the main guy I've highlighted, as a safety, he effectively ended up playing both safety and cornerback last season for him. So put up some decent fantasy points, 149 for the season, currently ranking sort of around about DB 59. Outside of that, McLeod, Slay, yeah, okay, in a bigger league, maybe you might look at someone like Rodney McLeod, put up 138 and a half fantasy points, round about sort of DB 67. So looking at those figures, not a million miles behind Mills, but again, a lot of these figures and stats are, as Nathan and I discussed, you know, a lot of it will depend on how big a league you're playing in, you know, what's left on the board, what's already gone. So
there's not really a lot. I'm just about to go through Dallas, and they're another team that is defensively going to be in a sort of transition stage because of their poor performance last season. And that's where Philly sit. They are a difficult side to predict because of the amount of changes that have happened there. And if you are not a betting man, I would be tended to steer clear of them. Apart from, yeah, you're obvious top two, maybe, where you'd look at Alex Singleton, potentially Brandon Graham, but the rest is a real struggle, really, to work out who you're going to, you know, maybe late round picks. But apart from that, I definitely wouldn't be targeting many players from Philadelphia.
And this is what, you know, and the more I sort of started delving into it, the more I realised why you didn't want to take Philadelphia.
Yeah,
what surprised me actually, and I don't know what your feelings are on this, and like you say, similarities between Philly and Dallas going through this transitional period, you know, the fact that they didn't really do much in the draft defensively. I mean, they took Milton Williams, tackle, you know, that was their top defensive pick, and that was round 3. What that means, I don't know.
They've picked up Eric Wilson, which is an interesting one for me.
Yes, yeah.
He had a lot of time on the field for Minnesota last year. As a Minnesota fan, it was interesting to see, but it was all down to the injuries that we had. And, you know, Eric Wilson ended up doing quite well, actually. And then to be snapped up by Philly is an interesting one, and to see where he fits in. Again, whether you... he finished as a linebacker 10 last year, and that is quite incredible. We have him nowhere near that this year, based on the fact that, obviously, a new landing spot for him into a defense that we are going to struggle to protect. So it could be that Alex Singleton sees a bit of a hit in his points as well. So, but we at the moment we're saying that Alex Singleton is going to have an uptick. So he is going to be the lead linebacker there. But we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. It's a tough one, but as we said, I would be keeping out there. Yeah, I would be very wary with Philadelphia at this point.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess, you know, the key question considering any of Philly's defensive players, you know, for your fantasy roster is, one of the things for me is whether the new offense under Hurts can do a better job of possibly keeping that defense off the field, because, you know, let's face it, you had Wentz, you know, running the show last year, and, you know, he was turning over for fun. So that's obviously going to put a lot of pressure on, you know, and they're not a young defense. You know, we've got to remember, no, you know, that some of those key players are getting to the stage where, you know, too much time on the field, injuries are going to come into play. They were also dogged by the worst defensive record in the league for penalties. So again, you've got a lot of time on the field. You've got, you know, a lot of penalties being conceded, putting more and more pressure on a defense, which, you know, was under enough pressure as it is. So, yeah.
For their sake, I hope they're not anywhere near as bad as they were. I don't think they will be. It is going to take some serious changes there, and some, and that's going to affect what we're predicting, really. You know, we're not going to be able to predict with any great security on pretty much any of these players at this stage. We're just going to be going off, you know, what they've done previously, and hope that they do roughly the same this season. But going much further than that, it's just going to be too difficult because of the changes they've got to make.
So, do you want to jump in then?
I mean, so over to me with Dallas. Now, the Dallas D, like Philly, was very poor in 2020. They have now brought in Dan Quinn as the new DC, and they desperately needed it. They conceded an average of 30 points a game last season, Dallas. The secondary was non-existent. The linebackers, there was injuries there, and there was a lot of moving around going on. But Dallas, like Philly, are going to be difficult to predict. They went big and picked up Micah Parsons as their first-round pick, linebacker. And that is really going to change things at Dallas. Leighton Van Der Esch, they've declined his fifth-year option, which means that, you know, we could quite quickly see Leighton finishing. They've probably got one more season left in him, and I think he'll be moved on. Jalen Smith, he scored extremely well fantasy-wise. As a linebacker, he often gets a little bit lost, a little bit dragged out of position. So we're predicting that Micah Parsons will take that Mike role. They'll move Jalen Smith over eventually. It might not be straight away. There's other players to fit in. Obviously, Leighton Van Der Esch will have to fit in somewhere this season. They also signed Jabril Cox as well, so he's gonna have a little part to play somewhere. Now, as for us ranking these players and putting them in the position where we're expecting them to sort of finish and how many points they're going to get, I've got Jalen Smith leading it with Micah Parsons not too far behind him. Leighton Van Der Esch just not relevant this season. So what I'm saying is, I'm saying in redraft, I would take Jalen Smith. In Dynasty, I'd be targeting Micah Parsons, and I wouldn't be touching Leighton Van Der Esch. The secondary, I'm not liking anything there particularly. They signed Keanu Neal, who's one of my favourite. Well, you know, I've had Keanu Neal around my teams for the past 4 or 5 years, really. And I really rate him. He's one of my favourite safeties to watch. And now he's moving to linebacker, which is a bit of a kick in for me. However, I've got a feeling that we might not see him at linebacker for very long. He might be moved back to that safety position. We'll have to wait and see on that. How they're going to use Keanu Neal, I think it's going to be quite interesting. I think you'll find it in maybe a big nickel formation or things like that. I'm expecting to sort of rove around and play quite similar to when he does actually as a safety, when he's being pulled up into the box. It's exactly the same kind of role that he'll have in that system. But it'd be interesting to see where they choose to use him. The jury is definitely out on all of this, how they're going to piece it all together. It's going to be quite interesting. But yeah, so that's where I'm going. So just to summarize that, it'd be Jalen Smith in redraft, Micah Parsons in Dynasty, and don't bother with Leighton Van Der Esch, unfortunately. I really rated him in the past, but injuries are taking its toll. And I just think I think Jerry's probably had enough, and them having to sort of rely on others to fill that gap.
You're not going to be drafting Neil anytime soon then, so you see what he's planning on doing.
No, not yet. I mean, look, if he's still around, the thing is with somebody like Keanu Neal, he's got upside. He really has got upside because of the secondary and the safeties that they've got at Dallas. He still, for me, is the best safety that they've got. So,
well, he's guaranteed, you know, games time on the field, isn't he? So,
well, yeah, I mean, that's it. I mean, when you look at it, Keanu Neal, what did he finish last year? He finished as the DB15 in 2020, and he only missed one game. Now, that, you know, to then move out of that spot, yeah, like I said, it is a bit of a kick in I feel like I feel a little bit robbed by it, but there we are. We'll wait and see. If he slots back in at safety, he could be a busy boy this year. And that'll be happy days for the lot for us Keanu Neal fans. So we'll wait and see. But again, a lot of people will go back to talk about injuries and things like that because, yeah, he has missed a fair bit of time, but only one game last season. So let's wait and see. Linemen. Oh, well, apart from DeMarcus Lawrence, which, you know, you're talking one of the faces of the franchise there, he's been a top edge in the past 4 years. He finishes the DL12 in 2020, and I expect him to have a similar season. He's in behind here, and there's quite a few young guys, Gallimore and a few others that, you know, I think they'll all be rotated and they'll be used in various different ways. But Lawrence is the man. If you're looking for a lineman and he's still around, I'd pick him up. I wouldn't go too mad for him. Wouldn't make sure you're not paying over the odds for him. But yeah, as that sort of DL12, between DL12, DL20, in that sort of slot, really, you want to be looking to pick him up. He could have a big year. He's going to be interesting with the linebackers and seeing how those edge rushers are all going to fit in together. It might benefit DeMarcus Lawrence. You might see them doubling up on people like Mika Parsons and being a bit more worried about the linebackers. So therefore, you know, Lawrence might get a few more sacks under his belt in 2021. So yeah. I would go with Lawrence. So who are you on to next then, Bren? You're on to Washington.
Yeah, I had a bit more fun with this one than I did with Philadelphia, to be honest, for obvious reasons. I mean, just a quick summation of last season again. You know, I mean, start of last season, you know, Washington, for all the world, looked like, you know, they had the potential to really be all over the shop. And, yeah, I surprised a lot of people, myself included. Obviously, credit has to go to, you know, Rivera and Jack Del Rio, you know, great stewardship. But a lot of it has to go down to, you know, really one of the most, turned out to be one of the most solid defenses in the league. You know, it was up there with, you know, the Rams, Steelers and Saints. Mm. Essentially, you know, a good pass rush, but unlike Philly and, you know, to a large extent Dallas, it was backed up by a pretty solid secondary as well. The main bit, obviously, I wanted to dive in on was, again, on, you know, the D-line. And, you know, the two obvious bodies to look at are, well, Chase Young, Montez Sweat. Looking at the stats from last season, you know, they were tough to split. And you and I talked about these two in particular a couple of weeks ago. You know, you're looking at Young putting up 32 solos, 12 assists, 7.5 sacks. Sweat, 28 solos, 17 assists, 9 sacks. You know, they did a lot of damage between them. Absolutely. The 21 projections really have, you know, would put you know, Young jumping up to, you know, something like a DL9 after sort of last season. Both put up decent fantasy numbers. You know, Young put up 186. I think he might have played a game less, though. You know, Montez Sweat, 196 in the fantasy figures. So, you know, very little to split them. You know, I mean, I listened to an interview with PFF's founder, Neil Hornsby, the other day. And, you know, and they're currently ranking, unless anything's changed, you know, I mean, they've got Aaron Donald top of the tree. And there was a big, you know, debate about that on a couple of the podcasts recently. But he is really looking at Chase Young sort of possibly topping that in the next sort of season or two and sort of leapfrogging Donald as well. So, you know, if you're looking at those two, again, certainly from a, like you've touched on with Dallas, from a dynasty point of view, you know, you've got to lean towards Young. You know, I mean, to put up those numbers in a rookie season, and like you say, missing a game as well. So
I'd have no issues with taking Chase Young number one on my DL. I just wouldn't, not in, especially in dynasty. But still, even in redraft, I just feel that you know, it's a safe option. What we've seen, I mean, you don't get rookies come in and make that. Not that many, you know, not that many come through and make that dominance first season. So, I mean, that should give you that confidence to be able to say, yeah, stick with him and pick him up. If you want to go big early, he's the kind of player that, yeah, make a run for.
Yeah. Although having said that, we had an extension of our draft on one of our home divisions, home leagues recently. And I picked up Montez Sweat. I have to assume that Young was already off the board, or I hope he was already off the board.
Yeah, I'm sure he was, mate. I'm sure he was. But I'll tell you what, Montez Sweat, I mean, he's a beneficiary of Chase Young as well. You can see it. I mean,
yep.
It's an interesting thing when you've got a pass rush like that. They're both going to feed. They should do.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's definitely.
Well, I mean, you can even again in if you are in a bigger league and sort of the alignment is sort of dwindling a bit as you're coming sort of through the draft. I mean, outside of those two, I mean, you can look at Darren Payne as well. You know, I mean, he put up nearly 150 fantasy points. You know, he's ranking sort of around about a DL20, put up decent numbers last season,
mate,
27.
It's impressive as a nose tackle, that kind of put those kind of points. But again, that just shows that he's getting through. And that's teams paying so much attention to Chase Young and Montez Sweat. And the problem is that the nose tackle's probably he's going to be one-on-one. To the point of where you go, okay, if it's somebody like Darren Payne as well, it's a big lad.
Yeah, picked up 3 sacks. If Young can kick on and sort of, as you say, open up some more holes for, for people like Payne, then,
decent late round pick.
Yeah, I mean, you could do a lot worse.
What have you got on the linebackers then? This is going to be interesting.
Well, ironically, there are a couple, obviously. I mean, John Bostic, you're almost looking at, from the experienced sort of players there, him or nothing really. I mean, put up well over 200 fantasy points, ranking it sort of LB28. You look at his tackle numbers, 59 solo tackles, 57 assists, 3 sacks, 1 pick. I was going to say a solid pick, but again, if the likes of, if you were just highlighting the, this division and the likes of Martinez and Jalen Smith are off the board, then, hey, yeah, you'd take John Bostic really all day long.
Would you though? Would you not be concerned of Jamin Davis and what they're going to do there? Because I think there's a big feeling around in the fantasy world that Jamin Davis is going to come in, take the main mic spot, and then John Bostic's going to be moved over, meaning the Holcomb would be probably on the other side, because Holcomb's a real interesting one, and you want to watch this, because when people look at the figures on Cole Holcomb, he only played 11 games. He was averaging like 13 points a game.
Yeah, again, and he, given that sort of lack of game time, he put up some decent numbers. So yeah, I mean, I've sort of touched on Jamin Davis as well. Interestingly, as I said to you in a recent conversation, for whatever reason, a lot of the experts, in the mock drafts, leading up to the draft, they weren't overly sort of hot on Jamin Davis. But, you look at who's running the show at Washington, and, you'd like to think Ron Rivera knows a bit more than, a lot of people writing columns about, professional defense. So yeah, it certainly could impact on Bostic's numbers going forward. So again, as I've said, just in this division, there are definitely better players that you could take over John Bostic. He's certainly not my, if you put a gun to my head and said, well, who are you taking at Washington? Well, you wouldn't need the gun, you'd take Chase Young all day long.
What have you got secondary?
Secondary, I mean, the pick of the bunch you're looking at, Cameron Curl, again, good fantasy season, to be fair. Over 185 fantasy points, ranking around sort of DB24, 63 solos, 25 assists, 2 sacks, 3 picks. He really stepped up following the injury to Landon Collins. I get the impression that Rivera was quite keen to get him involved in last season's defense as soon as possible. Still only 22. So again, dynasty perspective. If he's still on the boards, if you're after a sort of mid to late sort of DB pick, again, you could do a hell of a lot worse. Can he kick on again next season? We'll have to wait and see, I suppose. But outside of that, you had Ronald Darby and sort of Kendall Fuller. Between the two of them, picked or broke up 27 passes last season. That was a big part of what made that Washington defense, outside of the pass rush, like I said at the beginning of this section, they were backed up by a pretty solid secondary. They didn't let an awful lot through. Obviously, Darby's moved to Denver now, so that's leaving them with sort of Fuller out of the two of them. Having said that, I think they've arguably kept the better of the two, because out of the four interceptions of those 27 broken passes, Fuller had the lot.
He racked up some points, Kendall Fuller, to be fair. Over 14 games, averaging 9.2 points a game, which isn't too bad, especially at corner. So, yeah, he would be my pick, I think, optioning him. Interesting.
To sum up the Washington side of things, thankfully, unlike Philly, you know, there's a bit more to choose from here. I mean, you're looking at your Bostics, your Sweats, you know, Curl, Payne. You know, there are players that, you know, would spark people's interests, arguably sort of mid to later bits of the draft. So, but really you're looking at, you know, if he's there and available, you know, you don't have to go sort of all in or over the odds, then yeah, I mean, you're looking at Chase Young, aren't you? I mean, if the likes of Neil Hornsby at PFF are saying this is one to watch, then yeah, I mean, you've got to look at that. I mean,
at the moment then, just to summarise where we are, defences, I'm looking at, my prediction would be, out of these defences, I think most people might be with me on this, that we're going to be ranking Washington as the top defence in this league. The Giants, is, I'm putting them as the second top defence in that league, followed by Dallas, followed by Philly at this point in time. And I think people should draft that way as well. You know, that would be my thing. I'd be looking at it to draft, unless you're talking about the elite players. And this is what, it's going to be interesting to talk about the elite players, because out of the teams that we've mentioned so far, I feel that the Giants have the biggest bag of elite players. And you're going to, just by naming a few, I really like the Giants D, and I got a feeling that they could really make some moves in 2021. Patrick Graham at DC is a fantastic guy, a great brain. And I think that the job he's done in turning that defense around is quite incredible, really, because they were shocking, really, towards the start of 2020 and the end of 2019. And now suddenly they're a decent unit. So just going through some of these players. So they've got leaders all over the field defensively. Logan Ryan, Jabril Peppers, Blake Martinez, and Leonard Williams are all top players in their positions. Xavier McKinney is one of my, I mean, I was all about him in the 2020 draft. Yeah, and he unfortunately got injured, but in those six games that he did play in the latter part of the season, he racked some points up, and he showed people that exactly what he's going to be. He is my dynasty pick. One person that I will definitely be going after just for the long-term job there. I think he's going to be the safety, you know, that they're going to be basing their team off. If we go through, I'll talk about the secondary first, because that is loaded with stars. Yeah. Peppers, Logan Ryan, and Xavier McKinney. The safeties are, I mean, that is one safety core. I mean, that must be fun. watching those boys train together. I mean, poor old Daniel Jones. I mean, he's got to practice with these guys every week. Can't do his conf.
No wonder he falls over running up the field.
yeah. Jabril Peppers is one of the most consistent DBs around, and he's somebody that you should. I'm always targeting him. I've picked him up. Had some crazy value out of Peppers in the past. I don't know why to a lot of people, he's not sort of like, it's not a sexy pick for a lot of people. However, he's a really good safe pick. And if he's on that board, he finishes a DB9, you know, once those top flasher DBs are off the board, you're not going to go too wrong by picking up Peppers. Yeah, I mean, they've also got Bradbury at corner, a decent corner there. So Peppers for me would be the first person that I'd be targeting in that secondary, followed by Xavier McKinney, especially in a dynasty, you might be picking up McKinney before Peppers. But again, that's not much between them. I'll take them both if you can. Logan Ryan is a top 25 DB and should always be, whenever DBs are flying off the board, you want to definitely make a move for him. I think it's 2019. That was the season, that his last season at Tennessee. He had an unbelievable season there where he scored 290 points in IDP plus. That would be. Yeah, he was by far the top corner. And actually, well, he was the top DB. So yeah, Logan Ryan's another one. Moving into the linebackers, Blake Martinez. Well, I mean, yeah, you're talking one of the top, He's a top five linebacker. He will be going off at that. And I can't see any reason why Blake won't be doing the same again in 2021.
I mean, that's a no-brainer, isn't it? I mean, you know, you're looking at a linebacker that could push him 300 sort of fantasy points from your linebacker, and you go, well, if he's on the board, then you know, who else are you going to take?
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, you're talking in that top five, and Blake's always going to be there or thereabouts. So you don't really need to talk too much about him. If you don't know who Blake Martinez is, well, you're watching a few videos, and then you'll be. You'll definitely be picking him up if you can. That's the only linebacker I would be targeting from the Giants. I wouldn't be touching anybody else yet. Ojulari is the one they drafted quite early on. He's going to be, I would wait to see what his role is going to be. Martinez takes a lot of the snaps and, you know, he's involved highly as that middle linebacker. That's exactly, you know, he's there to hunt down and to make the tackles. So whoever else is playing with him doesn't usually do too well. So I would be holding out with Ojulari to wait and see exactly how they tend to use him. Leonard Williams had a monster to 2020, absolute monster 2020. He finished as the TL4, which shocked to a lot of people. Him and Dalvin Tomlinson were exceptional. Dalvin Tomlinson's now moved over to the Vikings. So there's going to be some changes around Leonard Williams. I don't expect him to have as good a season as he had in 2020. I can't see, you know, he might do, but
there'll be a lot of expectation on him to.
Yeah. I wouldn't be drafting him where he finished, put it that way. I won't be taking him anywhere near the DL4.
No, I mean, a couple of projections have got him sort of dropping off, certainly on the fantasy points, you know, dropping down to more like, you know, sort of 150, something like that, from what was nearly a 200, FP sort of point season. Yeah. So, yeah.
If he's around the late part of the second round, in your lineman, you're going to be, you could pick him
up. I mean, you're still drafting a good player from what is, as you said, you know, a good defense. So, you know, there are far worse options, aren't there?
Exactly. But there are a few changes around in the Giants, and it'll be interesting to see how Ojulari changes things there, whether he damages anybody else's points. But that is really the only change defensively that they've got. They look solid towards the back end of last season, and I don't expect them to change too much. They've got no reason to. It's offensively where the problems lie for the Giants. They know that. Everyone knows that. Can Daniel Jones turn it around?
They got Barkley back, haven't they? So I mean, that's going to be a massive boost, but.
Yeah, Kenny Golladay and that side of things. So I mean, the Giants have got a good.
I like them to win the division this season. I really do. Like you said, an awful lot does. Yeah, it does hang on Jones. I mean, I drafted him a while back in one of our home leagues, and he really, well, to say flattered to deceive is putting it politely. But again, you know, he had a rough time of it last year. He didn't really have any weapons last year, did he? So, you know,
no run game's a problem for him. No run game is a big problem for the Giants. The way that they play, and with somebody like Daniel Jones, to be able to get him to use his legs positively, you need to have that run threat. Yeah. And with Barkley on that field, you know, that suddenly does open up the. And it's same for people like Evan Ingram and what will be with Kenny Golladay. Yeah. They're probably going to see a bit of an uptick once Saquon's on the pitch, because no defense is going to ignore him. No. You know what I mean? You've got your eyes firmly on where Barkley is and what he's going to be doing because of the elite nature that he possesses. Yeah. So it's going to be an interesting season for the Giants. I'm quite looking forward to seeing them.
You know, I mean, they've added a bit of sort of youth in sort of Tony coming in. So yeah, they've given Jones, you know, a few more weapons and yeah, but like you say, I mean, Barkley coming back, a massive boost, take an awful lot of the pressure off Jones. So I think as always, you know, the NFC East is, it's always an interesting division. It was a bit of, I know a lot of people sort of thought it was a, a bit of a dog's dinner last year. And but there were some highlights. I think the Washington defense was sort of probably the pick of the bunch to do as well as they did.
Yeah.
But yeah, this could be an interesting interesting division.
So that pretty much wraps up our first IDP pod. I just have to tell you about a few articles that we have out on 5yardrush.co.uk. We have the IDP Plus article that details the scoring and how to get involved in the ITP Plus leagues. I put that together. We have the Why Play in IDP Leagues article, which Murph produced a few weeks ago, so have a read of that one. Also, Mason has an IDP article out on dual position players, which is an absolute banger, so please go and check that one out. We have three of our IDP Plus leagues all filled and ready to go, and we'll be continue to open up new leagues, so please hit me up on Twitter at NATONFL if you would like a spot. We will be back soon with a rundown on IDPs in the NFC North. So after all of that, it just leaves me to say I hope you enjoyed the pod, and get involved, start playing IDP, and remember, keep rushing.